for that presentation. If you have a Bible with you this evening, I want to invite you to join me and turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. I want to look at Thanksgiving tonight kind of from a different angle. And I hope you'll just listen and develop a thankful heart. I think it's the best medicine that... Just about the best medicine you'll ever take for your soul is to have a thankful heart and to, as the Apostle Paul once said, abound therein with thanksgiving. Not just once in a while, but abound therein with thanksgiving. Now, I'm using a kind of a strange text tonight. And I want to make three points about this. And at first, it's not going to seem like this has anything to do with thanksgiving, but hopefully by the end it will. And then we'll have a little invitation. If you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, we'd like to give you an invitation to ask Him to come into your life and your heart and be your Savior and to give you eternal life. The Apostle Paul once said, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And he was talking about eternal life. Unspeakable means there's an inability to put into words just how great the gift of God is for us, which is eternal life. The writer Paul also wrote in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We want you to understand clearly tonight that eternal life is a gift. It is not a reward. It's not something you work for and earn. That would be a reward. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is something you get at Christmas or on your birthday or on your anniversary or something. Somebody else pays for it. Somebody else pays for it in full, 100%. It wouldn't be a gift if you had to pay one penny for it. It wouldn't be a gift. God's gift is eternal life. One of the sad things to see today is so many people trying to earn a gift. You don't have to earn a gift. Christmas time comes along and someone hands you a gift, all you have to do is receive it. You could reject it if you want, but usually Christmas you receive the gift. Somebody else paid for it, somebody else wrapped it up really nice, somebody else handed it to you. All you do is receive it and it's yours. Three times in the book of Romans it says the free gift. The free gift, the free gift. Eternal life is free. It's not a reward that comes at the end of a long life of trying your hardest to be a good person or going to church or being moral or giving money or learning catechisms or taking your first Holy Communion or sacraments. It's not a reward you earn after a whole long life of trying to do a whole bunch of things to make God happy. That's a reward. No, it's a gift. It's a gift that was paid entirely for you by Jesus Christ when He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and He rose again. He purchased that gift with His own blood. And so quit trying to earn it tonight and just receive it. It's very easy for us to do that. Very simple. We'll give you an invitation at the end to receive Christ as your Savior. But I just want you to notice a few things here first out of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It's an amazing portion of Scripture. This is one of seven major prophecies of the New Testament. The Bible is filled with prophecies. By that we mean that events are predicted a long time before they ever happen in the Word of God, the Bible. But out of the seven major prophecies of the New Testament, the Bible is separated into two texts. There's the Old Testament, which is about three-quarters of the Bible. And the last quarter of the Bible is the New Testament. In that last quarter of the Bible, there are seven major prophecies. That means long prophecies that foretell the future. And what's going to happen long before it ever happened. This one here says in verse number 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I want to make three points tonight, very simply. Number one is the end of the world. The end of the world. Did you know the world is going to come to an end someday? And I just believe we're getting very, very close to that day when the world will come to an end. Jesus spoke about the end of the world quite openly. He said one time over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13, and verse number 39, these words, he said, "The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord." I want you to notice specifically here, Jesus is speaking about the end of the world. This world is going to come to an end. You know, Jesus never said those things, and these prophecies in the Bible are not in the Bible to scare us tonight, but to sober us. There's a difference. The Bible says we should be sober-minded. As men and women, that means we should be serious. We should be grave about the things of this earth. If you're not careful, depending on the different types of influences you allow in your life, you and I can live delusional lives. It's very easy to. The whole world's set up to foster delusion nowadays. You can watch television all day long, all night long, and movies and so on and so forth, and never get hit square between the eyes with the truth of the fact that the world is going to end. The world's going to end someday. In Matthew chapter 24, here's another verse in verse 3. It says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" He said this in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." The world's going to end someday. The Lord Jesus Christ made it clear. Now, in 6 out of the 7 major prophecies in the New Testament, and by major I mean they're very, very long in duration. For instance, Matthew chapter number 24 is 51 verses long. It's all about the last days. But 6 out of the 7 deal with events. Events. For instance, he says right here, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." He talks about events in this prophecy, wars, rumors of wars. Boy, we see that lately, don't we? Just yesterday, North Korea fired 200 missiles into South Korea and hit an island. And in hitting that island, they killed 2 civilians and 2 South Korean Marines. And the South Koreans aren't sure exactly how they're going to respond to this. And these are just 2 little nations over in the Orient. But behind these nations are China, with the North Koreans, America, with the South Koreans. That would be quite a conflict right there. And whether or not it's going to become a war or not, we don't know. Jesus said wars and rumors of wars. Those are events that are going to be taking place in the last days. There is a leader of a country of Iran, Mr. Ahmadinejad, who has already verbalized his sole purpose in life is basically to eliminate and to destroy the nation of Israel. He is producing missiles en masse and trying to arm some of them with nuclear warheads. And in their own language, on every single missile, that they are producing are these two words, to Jerusalem. Every missile they're making, to Jerusalem. And Jesus talked about Jerusalem becoming a cup of trembling in the last days. The nations surrounding that tiny little country of 5 million people. And yet the Lord standing up for them. These are events. But the thing that is unique about this text that I look at tonight in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is this is one of the seven major prophecies, but this doesn't talk about events. This talks about individuals. Individuals. And I want you to notice number 2, the ways of the world. We see the end of the world is coming according to God. But we see the ways of the world just before the end in verses 2 through 9. It doesn't talk about events like wars and famines and pestilences, but what will people be like just before Christ comes back to receive his own unto himself? Verse 2 says this, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent," that is the inability to control themselves, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." That's false religion. "From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive," listen, "silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Verse 12, "Yea, and all who live godly," that will live godly in Christ Jesus, "shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There's about 30 descriptions of what individuals will be like just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the last days. Talks about the perilous times in verse 1. We talked about Korea and Iran and Israel and even our times in America where our military spread so thin, and Iraq and Afghanistan, maybe now on a third front in South Korea with our allies. I don't know what's going to happen. But it talks about 30, I think there's 32 different descriptions of what individuals will be like just before the Lord comes. Now, that's quite outstanding considering the fact this was written 1900 years ago. I would not want to try to put down on paper what people are going to be like 1900 years from now. That's beyond me. The only reason why we have this recorded is because the Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of a God who knows the end from the beginning and wrote about it. And that kind of a God is one you can put your trust in tonight. One who knows the future. And he told us the behavior. Now the one out of the 32 that I just want to pick out just for a moment is where it says right here in verse number 2 regarding the last days, unthankful. Unthankful. It will be one of the characteristics of people just before Jesus comes that they will forget about being thankful. We need to just guard against that. We're talking number 2 here about the ways of the world in the last days. But did you know we're instructed as believers in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If this is how the world is in the last days, we as believers are not supposed to be conformed to this world. If they're unthankful, let them be unthankful, but let us be thankful. Let us be grateful. Let us allow God to fill our hearts with gladness and joy as we count our blessings and as we name them one by one. But the Bible says people are going to be unthankful. I never thought I'd live today to see people complaining because they don't have cell phone reception. Really? Really wrecks their day. Wrecks their life if they can't have cell phone reception. If the power goes off, they can't watch direct TV or cable TV or something like that. Power's off for about an hour, and Americans start making phone calls and going ballistic, man, not so much you in this room. This is one of the reasons why we looked at Peru tonight and saw villages and cities with no electric, no power, no running water. And yet when you look at them, they got happy faces. They feel as though they've been blessed. The Bible warns us about being unthankful. We see the end of the world tonight. We see the ways of the world. But finally, I want to show you the whys of the world, the wise ones of the world in the last days. It says in verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want you to notice finally tonight the whys of this world. We see in the end of the world, the ways of the world, which are terrible, 32 horrible descriptions of unchristian behavior manifesting itself all over the world, in and around us, including unthankfulness. But the wise of the world. Who are the wise of the world? Those that get saved. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The holy scriptures are the Bible. And the Bible has the ability to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people out there that think salvation is through church or through baptism or through the sacraments. But no, the wise in the last days will know the scriptures. And by the way, it talks here about Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. I want to encourage you to teach your children the scriptures while they're young. Teach your grandchildren the scriptures while they're young, because the scriptures can make them wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not through this Baptist church. It's not through any religion. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. The wise of the world in the last days will be those who will be saved. But not only those that are saved, but at verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let us be careful, believers, because sometimes when you watch the news and you read the newspapers and you see this world going in the direction away from God and away from the scriptures and into the fulfilling of this prophecy, some people tend to be discouraged. They tend to say, what's the sense of even trying? This is why it says right here, in the light of this prophecy, the next verse says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Don't quit. Let everybody else quit. Let the world get worldly. Let them fulfill this prophecy, but you don't. Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did he learn them of? The Apostle Paul. Paul had taught Timothy. And so Paul is saying, listen, when you see all the signs of the times being fulfilled in front of you, when you see the world getting worse and worse and worse, when you see the events taking place that are going to usher in the final day and the judgment, when you see people becoming unchristian and living like these marks of the latter days that we have read tonight, these 32 marks of the characteristics of people in the last days. When you see all these things, it says, don't quit, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Be faithful right to the end. Finish strong. And I want to encourage you to do that. And he says, continue in the things that you have learned, knowing who you learned them from. I want to just say this about Paul in closing. One of the main themes of Paul's writings that he has tried to teach us, all as believers, is to be thankful. Be thankful. Continue in a life of thanksgiving. We've got to be careful that we do not have ingratitude. Abraham Lincoln once said these words in his National Day of Proclamation for a National Day of Fasting, Humiliation, and Prayer. On April the 30th, 1863, and even though that was like 140-some years ago, it sounds like he wrote it today. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power. And no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and persevering grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Amen. 1863. I wish we had a president say that today. That'd be a wonderful thing. Paul preached, he taught that we ought to be thankful. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. To the church at Colossae, he said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7, he said, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. He majored on many different themes. One of them was thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. And then to Timothy in our text, he says, when you see all these prophecies of the last days being fulfilled, and the world wants to go as far and as fast away from God as they can, you continue in the things you've learned. Be a thankful person. Abound in thanksgiving. I don't know of any better medicine for the soul. I think thanksgiving can fix marriages, can fix families, can fix businesses, can fix churches, can fix nations. If people will, instead of focusing on faults, begin to give thanks to the Lord. We ought not to be ashamed of that. There was once a great pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers named Oral Hershiser. Oral Hershiser was a Christian and he wasn't ashamed of it. Following the World Series, I don't remember the year, but he helped win the World Series for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was invited back then, like so many do nowadays. It was on to the Johnny Carson show. And nowadays they got David Letterman and Jay Leno and all these other guys. And whenever somebody does something fantastic, they always bring them on these shows for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't see them. But Johnny Carson brought the pitching ace on to his late night show and asked him how he appeared to stay so calm while he was pitching several games, two or three games of the series. And he said that all he did to stay calm was that he would go to the bench in between innings and he would sing hymns. Sing hymns, gospel hymns. And then he shocked Johnny Carson and the world by singing on the show one of his favorite hymns that he used to sing over and over and over again. It's called the Doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know it? Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Johnny Carson was visibly moved by his Christian testimony. And later, when Johnny Carson had his 27th anniversary program, and it was not at late night, but they actually put it on earlier in the day so everybody could watch it, he ended the show by rebroadcasting Oral Hershiser's singing of the Doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. That's how Oral Hershiser said, stayed calm. By praising God, by thanking God. Now, brethren, I'm not here to scare anyone tonight, just to make you sober. But this world's going to get a whole lot worse than it is. The biblical prophecies are going to be fulfilled. But it doesn't have to affect you. It doesn't have to affect me either if we keep singing hymns, praising God, and thanking the Lord all the way through. And people will start looking up to us like Oral Hershiser and say, man, what does that guy have? What does she have? This world doesn't have. Are we thankful tonight? The Bible says in the last days people are going to be unthankful. Well, let's decide tonight we're not going to join them. Let them complain if after driving hundreds and hundreds of miles on the wonderful infrastructure of our country and they hit one pothole, let them complain. Let us thank the Lord for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles of wonderful infrastructure we get to drive on. Bridges and overpasses and underpasses and so on and so forth. We've been blessed in our country. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. We're going to have a prayer for salvation. We were talking earlier, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, that perhaps there's some here tonight that have never received God's free gift of eternal life. I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord as your Savior. Then we're going to have just a hymn and go home. Some might want to come to the altar and pray about something. I know this was a simple sermon tonight, a short sermon, and just kind of a different take maybe on Thanksgiving. But I'm concerned about people and their spirit and their soul just seems to be diseased these days. They can't find it in them to thank the Lord and to thank their loved ones and to thank their friends and thank their neighbors, and just can't find it in them to say those words. The world's getting unthankful. But we need to continue in the things which we've learned, and that is to be thankful. If you ever received God's free gift of eternal life, please understand it's not a reward. If you're here today and you're trying to earn a reward and you hope to die someday and stand before God and God says, yep, you earned it. You can have heaven, you can have eternal life, come on in. That's never going to happen. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have offended a holy God. But the Lord has died for our sins on the cross. He was buried and He rose again. And He paid for your salvation, the gift of eternal life, with His own blood. What you have to do is receive it. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received Him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Receive him, believe on him. Where you're sitting, if that's the need of your heart, the Bible instructs you to do this. Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you tonight will believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, you realize you can't save yourself. It's not a reward, but it's a gift he paid for, and you'd like to receive that gift. And right where you're sitting, not out loud, but from your heart, you could pray, and I'll help you. Maybe to God you could say something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy upon my soul, to forgive me of my sins, and to save me. Dear Lord Jesus, I now accept you as my personal Savior. I ask you to come into my life, into my heart right now. I thank you for dying on that cross for me, and for shedding your blood to wash away my sins. Please give me the gift of eternal life. This is our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just before we sing, I wonder tonight how many here, perhaps just by the upraised hand, nobody else is looking, but just between you and me and the Lord, would raise your hand up, take it down, and just say, God knows my heart. Pastor Cole, while you were leading in a prayer for salvation, I prayed to the Lord tonight, and I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior tonight. Would you just raise your hand up right now? Take it out. God bless you and you. Yes, God bless you upstairs and over here. Yes. God bless you. I saw your hand earlier. Anyone else? Anyone else? Now, Father, just bless our time of singing and dismissal now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to